over and sly wink kind of thing, instead of a forthright, straightforward, you know, upfront discussion or presentation of a sexually related thing. And so it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, they say that permitting obscenity will cheapen sex, and what they only permit, as far as obscenity goes, is the cheap kind of sex. And so they say, look, see, you know. So the solution is not to censor it, but to free it even more, so that the spectrum of sexuality can be dealt with. And this they don't do, you know. It's really too bad. And it's scary because, you know, another little piece of the granite block of constitutional guarantee of free speech has been chipped away. Now the government is willing to listen to a radio program and to say, not that the programming is deceptive or fraudulent or could possibly lead to anyone's harm, but just to say, I don't like it, you know, I think it's terrible, and therefore it must go off the air. And that well, I think that's terrible. It gets me very angry, because I like sex, and I like to retain the right to hear a program which panders, what's the word, panders, unabashedly to the least common denominator about sex. I want to retain the right to turn that program off, to say, you know, blech, you know, I'll listen to something else. I'll listen to a program that that turns me on. And the problem is that such programs that turn people on don't exist. So you either have a choice of listening to this sleazy kind of pinstripes and spats kind of attitude towards sex, or nothing at all. Because that's all that the medium can tolerate. So I don't care how obnoxious that kind of programming is. That kind of programming, to me, if we were able to program sexually related programming freely, without fear of losing our license, we would be, I'm sure, able to provide some kind of alternative to repugnant programs like that. And but we're not. So they're the ones that seep through. But now they're being fine. Now they're shutting it all off. Now they're saying, you know, no, don't talk about sex. Now, Birch said that serious discussions of sexuality and problems and so on is okay. He doesn't like the pandering and exploitative kind of discussions. And apparently he's willing to decide where the line ought to be drawn between what is permissible approach or attitude towards sex and what isn't. And the difference is a $1,000 fine or $5,000 or whatever it was. In other words, if you don't have the right attitude toward it, we're gonna fine you, or we're gonna take your license away, or we're gonna otherwise punish you for not having the right kind of attitude. And in that kind of atmosphere, a radio station is not about to risk any kind of upfront or straightforward dealing with sex with any kind of gusto or any kind of positive approach. It's got to be scholarly and clinical and so on. And I really think it's a shame. You know, I think it's a shame that we no longer have that guarantee of freedom that we were taught, you know, that we had. It's a shame that there really are things that you just can't say without the government shutting you up. Like the judge who ruled against Deep Throat, the film. You know, he said, "This is one throat that I take pleasure in slitting." Or cutting, I think that's what it was, cutting. And actually, he gets his pleasure out of cutting women's throats. You know, that's his thing, and he can do that in this society. That's okay, you know. But using a throat to give and receive pleasure is not okay. He's decided that that's not okay. That a film which is, you know, just came out during the whole brouhaha about the the whole brouhaha about the about Deep Throat. There was another film about nurses, who, you know, a bunch of nurses who were massacred, and how they were slashed, you know. And that film got through. You know, nobody's raising any objections to that. You know, no citizens groups, no judges, no courts, no nothing. You know, that's okay. Slitting throats is okay. Using a throat for pleasure isn't okay. And in a society which encourages that kind of approach toward sexuality and that kind of approach toward violence, you kind of expect things like Vietnam or Laos or Cambodia to come out of it. I mean, it's the, you know, this kind of blind, ruthless, and even gratuitous violence is the product, it's the fruit of the of a society which can't accept pleasure, you know, which feels so guilty over sexual pleasure. That they have to become so insensate that oppression or violence against other people is preferable to feeling pleasure and then being guilty about it. People, rather than be guilty about how much they enjoy masturbating or screwing or getting screwed or, well, the list is endless, rather than deal with that guilt, they would rather just turn themselves off and arbitrarily beat on people. You know, when you become that kind of insensitive, you can't feel for other people's pain. You can't, you know, if you can't acknowledge your capacity to feel pleasure, you can't feel pain. You can't feel empathy for people who are in pain. So you can hurt somebody, and because you can't feel it, you know, because you can't feel pleasure, you can't feel their pain. And that's not good. Like when I was beating on this guy tonight, I was hitting him as hard as I could with my belt. And the object of the game at that time was to draw blood. This was what was going to happen. And it I didn't the belt that I was hitting him with didn't have any holes in it, and you have to, in order to cut someone, you have to have holes in the leather, because otherwise there isn't enough sharp surfaces to break the skin. So I was really wailing at him, you know, really beating him, and his ass just got red, you know, and big deal, no blood. So that didn't work out too well. I'm going to have to punch some holes in the belt. Anyway, part of hitting him as hard as I did was understanding his pain and being as much involved with his pain as he was, or trying to be. And that's, I don't know. That's what it's all about, if you can understand that. Well, anyway, I'm really, apparently the broadcasting company that was fined hadn't issued a statement, and that they were going to issue a statement on Thursday, and I don't work here Thursday. I'm not here on Thursdays, and I didn't hear the news. And I don't know whether they issued any statement about whether or not they're going to contest it. Like, they can accept the fine, they can pay the money and take the program off the air, and, you know, concede and play along and don't rock the boat. Or they can contest it. They can risk, I think, their license. At least they can risk the fine, which is, they're going to have to pay that anyway. But if they take it to court and lose, they might also lose their license, which isn't so hot. And that's the thing. Nobody really wants to risk their license just to test the obscenity law. You know? And that's how the FCC gets us each time, all the time, because it's all or nothing. You know? But anyway, so I don't know whether the radio station said what they were going to do. Probably they're going to not contest it and just pay the fine and, you know, take their licks. Otherwise, I'll find out about it some more in the future. But somehow we've got to defend the freedom to talk about anything that we want to talk about, as long as it doesn't lead to people being harmed. Like, I'm in favor of restrictions against, you know, recommending that people, instead of throwing in a capsule of a tablet of Alka-Seltzer into a glass, that they throw some Drano into a glass and drink it down in one gulp. I mean, this, you know, that's information, or that's speech which could hurt people. It's misleading and it's destructive and so on. I'm in favor of censorship in that respect, so that people don't get hurt or don't hurt one another. You know, like recommending that, I don't know, you know, on a kiddie program, saying, go, you know, to get a knife out of the drawer, kiddies, and go and, you know, whatever. That isn't good. But any kind of speech which or talking about things which you know, which don't lead to people losing money or hurting themselves, I think ought to be permitted. And it makes me very uncomfortable to know that I live in a country which is really not as free as it claims. You know, free speech, but... Oh, there was another item on that same newscast. It was she used it as the last item, and I want you to listen to this now, and I want you to see how it's related. Now, remember, the first item was about a program where women discussed, kind of in a very tacky way, how they kept their sex lives spirited by engaging in oral copulation with their husbands. And how that program was censored by the government. Now, contrast that discussion of how they make each other feel good, you know. Contrast that, which is being censored now, with this next thing, with this next item, and notice that there is no sanction against what you're going to hear described. In other words, nobody is stopping what's going on. Now, listen to this item.
It was reported on Friday that the Holiness Church of God in Jesus' name in Newport, Tennessee, added the drinking of strychnine to its tests of faith. Two people died as a result. Previous tests of faith have included the handling of snakes, and the next test will be a test of fire. The Reverend Liston Pack, whose brother was one of the strychnine victims, said that a blowtorch would be applied to the faces and arms of those anointed by the Holy Ghost. Meanwhile, the bodies of the strychnine victims repose in their graves, their hands clasped over Bibles open to the chapter in the Gospel of St. Mark, which states, and which the church members believe literally, quote, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them."
So there you go. If you oh, that's so silly. Nobody ever learns, do they? I mean, I guess, I don't know. Maybe if everybody figured out how to live happily ever after, there wouldn't be any need to live at all, right? It's only adversity and people hurting one another which keeps life interesting, I guess, maybe. No. I don't know. But doesn't that kind of hark back about 2,000 years or something? 100 to 200, 300 years? I mean, where have we gotten since? I mean, where are we going? How much longer is it going to take? Well, anyway. I'm going to take phone calls now. The number is 826-0880. I have to see if the old delay system is working. Whoop. Yes, it works. Okay. Oh, I could hear the delay coming out of my headphones. You could probably hear that too. Now you can't, because I just turned it down. Hi there. Okay, the number is 826-0880. That's the only number that I will be answering tonight. 826-0880. And I can see that the jammer has decided to join us. And your days are numbered, jammer. Okay. The AI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm interested in your computer story more than anything else.
All right.
Could you turn that down, Jim? Could you tell me, did you really need a computer, or were you laughing at these ads that have these memory computers that are advertised in the newspapers? It seemed to me that you were doing a very subtle sort of laughing at people that buy these kind of $99 computers with a memory. Could you?
Well, the $99 computers don't have a memory.
Well, I didn't price them, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yes, I am laughing at them because I am one of them. You know, I mean, I do.
You really buy one, or would
yes,
you just,
yes, I'm addicted. I mean, I'm.
What kind of addictive need do you have for a computer?
Well, it's a necessity.
No, I mean, what do you do with it? I mean.
Well, I add things, subtract, multiply, divide.
What sort of? I don't mean to be too personal, but people do get personal on your program.
Yeah.
What sort of things do you figure? Are you figuring? I mean. What sort of work do you have that you need that complicated?
Oh, well,
computer.
Today I walked a lot. I had to take some shoes down to be repaired, and I went to the McDonald's on 23rd Street, and I added up the total number of blocks that I walked to see how many miles I had walked.
I generally do that, but I don't need a computer for that.
Well,
nor with a memory.
I have a very, very lazy mind. And plus, I computed exactly how many miles per hour I walk.
Did you ever have one of those pedometers that you could get?
No.
You're
no.
A lot younger than I am.
No.
When I was a young lad, we had the pedometers that we could wear and find out how far we had walked. And when we got back, we just took it off of our foot.
Yeah. No, I don't. I never had one of those.
You could send in to your comics, your Captain Marvel and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, that's only one use. That wasn't actually a dire necessity. There.
What was the dire necessity for them?
Well, let me think now. I'm sure there was some area where it was indispensable. Well, when we go out to eat, that's it. When we go out to eat.
Who is we now?
Well, me and Mike and like people from the station, you know, go out to eat.
People from the station, from the guy that was speaking this morning, he said that there a lot of them are rather picky, leaving cartons around and stuff.
Yeah.
You do eat with them, all right?
Yeah, I'll eat with them.
Okay. So
but we go out and we eat, and like there may be three or four people, right?
Yeah, that could happen.
Okay, and rather than ask for separate checks.
Yeah, like my aunts do, you know,
right.
And pull that thing. But
right.
Is this a
now
pocket
wait.
Computer?
Huh?
A pocket computer that
yes oh yes
right in there oh.
Right okay so rather than ask for separate checks we each have a computer well not all of us actually only two of us and sometimes three of us have computers we compute exactly how much our portion of the bill is. Everybody pays their own portion to a cashier, who is the person who collects all the money and actually pays the bill and makes the profit, because everybody always figures low.
Yeah.
I mean, or always figures high.
People always leave out a lot of things when they figure if you don't have computers.
Right.
We have a minister that heads a large church here in New York that always manages to save about $1.50, $2, even though he pretends like he's figuring everything in. He always forgets things like tax and tip and the fact that he had a dessert and an extra drink. And
right, right.
I can see that.
Now wait.
You wouldn't need the memory.
Though. Well, yes. Aha, now this is the catch. When I am the cashier, what I do is I figure out Sam's bill and Joe's bill and Fred's bill and tell them each how much they're, you know, they are. I say, what did you have, you know, and then I multiply it times 1.07 to get the amount that it with tax.
Yeah.
And then do this for each of the people. And then previous to this, I've had to ask them how much they... how much I told them theirs was, so that I could add all of them up together and see if it coincided with the total amount of the bill, to make sure that I hadn't figured one or more of them wrong.
You can check it, yes.
Right. Now this way, I've, as as I figure out each one, I add it into the memory.
Mm.
Right? And then at the end, I have figured out all the individual checks, and I have a total which should be pretty close to the amount on the check.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Tell me that that isn't a question of life or death.
Yeah, well, no, there is something else that I've been wanting, and that's there's this apartment house, complete floor at 733 Park Avenue.
Oh, advertising the Times last week?
This week, also.
Yeah, yeah.
There's an article about
it. I want that, too, yeah.
It's quite embarrassing. If you do take one, you know, all of your friends will know that you're in that apartment house with the five bathtubs.
Right.
And since it's only me and my spouse, it could be embarrassing. But I really am pleased that they do build these. I mean, of course, the maid definitely needs a bath, a complete bathroom, which it has.
Yeah.
But then there's one for what they call, I think it's called compartment. They don't call it bedrooms. It's just called compartment. That has a complete bath.
Yeah.
And then the other compartment has a complete bath. And then, naturally, the master bedroom has a complete bath.
And a shower.
Another sink for the spouse in case we want to brush our teeth together.
Together.
Looking in the mirror.
Uh-huh.
Now, naturally, there's a library because being able to afford a place like that, you know, a person like that would have a lot of books, just like President Eisenhower did.
Yeah, well, you can buy a whole wall of books, I understand.
Yeah, for President Eisenhower when he took over Columbia, because he only brought about 2 yards.
Really?
A yard was on war and history that he was rather fascinated with, and another yard was mystery stories in paperback mostly.
Oh.
And so they said, are these your books? When will the others be coming, you know, for the rest of the shelves?
Yeah.
And he said, no, these are they.
This is it, huh?
In English, because he was going to be the President of Columbia. Well, naturally, he went out and had to order some, and you know what a task that would be. And so I guess they got various people, various departments to do the ordering. So he had quite a nice array of books there.
Hmm.
But anyway, there are the two sinks, which I thought was rather nice, in case you want to brush your teeth together. But then there's also a small bath off the library, and that's just a shower with stool and sink.
Uh-huh.
A bathtub.
That's in case you work up a sweat reading all your books or something?
In that house, at any one time, now the maid, of course, would be taking a bath. She couldn't take it when Madame was out of the house. She'd have to have her own, because would you want the maid washing in your bathtub?
Oh, no.
I mean, can you imagine?
No.
Even if she did clean it up, I mean, you know, the thought of it.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You know,
there's
or
a place.
Using the shower off the library.
Oh, my God.
So there is this extra, and so I figured there are at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people on that floor could be taking a bath at any one time.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't that be nice? Can you imagine the kind of party?
Well, it probably wouldn't happen very often, but I mean, when you get...
In case you had this one weekend, just...
Right, right. It's
the ambassador in from India.
Right. Sooner or later, it's going to happen where 5 people want to bathe simultaneously.
You know, it could be just a disastrous weekend. You can't go out to the country. You can't order in another bathtub.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, you can't call up Hertz.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Say, you know, the people
and
that supply.
Couldn't send them to the public baths or anything.
End up a gold bathtub for 3 days.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, who do you call? Bloomingdale's doesn't have a rental service for bathtubs.
No.
So, I mean...
Well, you could send them out to a public bath, but that would be very demeaning.
That would be an idea. Maybe...
Well, I mean, you could rent... I suppose you could rent the entire...
Would you suggest... Oh, rent an entire bathhouse.
Yeah.
Rent Everard's for the evening. And
right.
Ambassadorial delegation from India down there to bathe
right.
or something.
Right.
That might be an interesting. That might be interesting just to rent that for a whole weekend and get Mr. Mitchell and all those people to
all the Watergate people
cleansing at the Everard.
Uh huh.
Would that be nice enough though for that sort of ritual mitzvah?
Well, I suppose you could have a decorator come in and fix it up.
Well, they do that, don't they? Of course.
Yeah.
We could, we could start planning that. I don't know just exactly who. We could send out invitations and so on. And
but it's really much better to
the Continental. I haven't, but the Continental might be nicer. They have entertainment too.
Yeah, right, right.
Probably have special entertainment.
But it's always nicer to do it at home. You know, home entertaining at home is always so much better. I mean, you know, these public things are nice for a lark, but I mean for.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine if you had to have a party where this many people were staying over? You certainly couldn't farm them out to Hotel Pierre or something. You know, I'm just think of the commuting.
Right.
You know, from 733 down to 54th or 55th, wherever it is.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassment to put them in a cab where we say, I'm just taking a bath here and then I'm going back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, if the kids and, you know, if your children should come by, you know, they'd have, you know, there are just all kinds of reasons that you'd want that. And I was just so pleased to see that they do, because Jacqueline Kennedy's place only had, I think, about four baths. On one.
Really? And she managed?
Huh?
And she managed?
Well, I don't know. I think that was one of the reasons why she married Onassis, is because he had promised her about three extra baths.
Oh, I see.
Various, I don't know, you know, this is gossip.
Yeah, I know, it's...
You know, get into that sort
right.
of, you know, cheap gossip.
Right.
You know how they do it. We shouldn't allow this program to get into that sort of, you know...
Right, I know.
Cheap
the
thing, you know,
right.
I mean, it's, But then again, you know, who are we to say? So it's nice talking to you, and I'm glad to see that the computer, and I'm sure that they're going to be selling a whole lot of them after... You have publicized it like that, you know. There will be a lot of people.
Well, whether I talk about it or not, I think people would recognize the real the necessity of it.
People did realize all that they needed. You know, we wouldn't have those ads in the paper.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, just think, you know, this is one of the main justifications for advertising. I mean, if people really knew all the things they needed. But it's not just knowing what they need. You know, it's knowing how they need it and how much they need it.
Yeah, right.
So it does have an educational thing of teaching them how to use something. I mean, you have to get it into their hands, and if you can't get it in their hands, they can read about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was very pleased. One of the publications that advertises this computer is the Daily News, which I'm an avid reader of. Have you noticed them in there?
The Daily News?
Yes.
No, I don't. I haven't seen that in a long time.
No, but they are advertising those computers there, which shows you that that's a higher class of readership than we generally give credit.
Yeah.
So I better hang off and say I'm glad that you explained the computer thing for me.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
So long. Well, there's that up. BAI, you're on the air.
I'm on the air? Oh, good, man. I waited a long time, man.
Well, these things happen.
Yeah, these things happen. Yeah, except that you were talking for a long time, man. I gotta tell you, sometimes that last rap about chipping away the block of freedom and all that for a long time.
The way you
feels like to hear yourself. But dig this, man. Chipping away the block of freedom, you got it all wrong, man. I mean, I dig that you're on something, but you got it wrong because chipping away a block of freedom, man. You dig that when that judge was 10 years old, Ulysses could not be published in this country, man. I mean, like, there's a lot of older cats, man.
But what does Ulysses have?
Ulysses, I'm going to say on the air, you understand? It's got everything in it.
Oh.
You read Ulysses, man? I bet you haven't.
Well,
you read Areopagitica by Milton, that essay on censorship, man?
No.
Yeah, well, you ought to read it because he wrote that back in the 1600s, and that's like the classic statement of censorship. He says it better than you. He says it better than me. He says it better than anybody. He's really hip, dude. You ought to read that, man, instead of doing your thing, because Milton said it, I mean, clear, man. He said it. He zapped everybody for centuries, man. He's still zapping them with that essay.
Well, it didn't work.
What I'm saying is, man, it's like chipping away the block of freedom. It's getting, you see, it's bad, but can you dig, man?
Wait a minute. Would you
can you understand me, man?
Yeah, don't repeat it, though. I mean, when you throw my words back at me, it makes them sound very silly.
And I'll take this, man. I mean, let the public decide. Well, all right, not the public. All right, you, man. I'm talking to you now. There's other people out there.
All right.
Take this, man. You say chipping away the block. Now, that's what you said. Now,
yeah, I know I said that.
Okay, now what I want to tell you, man, is can you dig, I mean, in 1973 or whatever's happening now, you dig that in... On AM radio, it was probably on AM, you know, in Illinois, there's a program on oral sex on a radio. Can you dig that happening, man? I mean, like 20 years ago, 30 years, it's unthinkable, man. I mean, like, I dig what you're saying, but a $2,000 fine is nothing, man. I mean, that's a slap on the wrist. I could get $2,000 for a worthy cause in an hour, you know, if you want it, man. An hour, I could get $2,000. That's nothing, man. What I'm saying is that things are getting better. There ain't no chipping away of the block. If anything, they're chipping away the block of uptightness, man. I mean, it's getting better. You understand?
How is it getting better?
Worse, man. I mean, I saw John Mitchell on the TV last night. It was outrageous, man. I mean, those films of him saying I didn't do it, and then 6 months later, film saying I did do it.
Yes.
You know, that was just.
Oh, did they play the two films together?
Yeah.
That's great.
It was outrageous, man. First they played the film where he says I had nothing. I mean,
right.
I did it. You know, the recent one yesterday.
Yeah. Right.
As I was there, then they had a flashback of the film right next to him, man. It just blew my head. You understand? It was outrageous.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was great. It was just I was hopping up and down. But what I'm saying is, they ain't chipping away at the block, man. And you're getting, I mean, you think, I don't know, you know, the government, you know, you get uptight because the government can do this and that. Well, the government is just an expression of public morality, man.
I know it.
That judge, you understand, you know, his mind was blown by Deep Throat. Now, you got to, I mean, yeah, you got to rap on the cat and beat him down a little bit, but you understand, it's getting better. It's not chipping away at no block. All right, now I'll let you talk for a second. You understand? But chipping away at the block, man,
it's better to, like, okay, there have been specific advances, but there have been, there's been general regressions.
How's that?
Well, I mean, like, this radio.
DHRs couldn't be published 15 years ago.
Well,
they wouldn't allow lady child.
Why? Because
can you dig that?
Because he acknowledges that animals have genitals or something? I mean, what?
D.H. Lawrence, I said.
Yeah, I know.
You understand? In my lifetime, I'm 27 years old. In my lifetime, Lady Chatterley was not published in this country. And that doesn't have one dirty word in it.
Oh,
yes, it does. Yes, it does. That is the color. But it has these incredible, beautiful descriptions of it, you know,
right.
Of sex.
Right.
And that couldn't be published in my lifetime, man. So you can dig how far
we've
come to oral sex on AM in Illinois?
Yeah, but wait. Now, wait.
All
right. It's come to where people think that it's okay to have a discussion about oral sex on AM in Illinois.
Well, some people
but
don't. The community was probably outraged.
No, there were no complaints.
Oh, well, that's far out.
It
that's
was the.
Far out. How do you know there were no complaints, man?
Because
you heard a little news item on the
no,
radio.
No,
how
no,
do you know?
No, because there was another story at greater length on another newscast.
I doubt it, man. I doubt it. Some little lady or some parish priest
no,
or some mayor.
No, the complaint
town,
was generated.
Minds,
complaint
know?
Was generated by the FCC.
What?
And in the one other case where the FCC fined someone for obscenity, there also was no complaint. The FCC said, the radio station said we're going to do it, and we're going to test the law, and the FCC fined them, and they found out, you know, that was obscene. But the FCC was listening, and they were the only ones that objected to it.
That were offended or outraged
right.
or whatever.
Right.
I find it. Now, listen, man, I mean, you've been around and I've been around. We know what kind of people there are in this country.
I know.
I mean, Nixon won by a landslide, right? Now, you don't think that a lot of people weren't just mind blown by that?
No.
Sex program
I'm
AM,
sure
right?
they
so
weren't.
Don't,
I'm
I mean,
sure
you can't
they
really
weren't.
Believe that there was no complaints. I mean, I don't know if the news story, you know, the left gets prejudiced,
but see,
too, right? I mean,
see, it's
people
like you and me that get offended by things like that, and we're not censorship freaks.
Who gets offended?
People like you and me.
Get what? Offended by the FCC?
No, get offended by this kind of cheap talk about sex, you know? This kind of leering, topless radio kind of thing. I mean, we're not offended at an honest portrayal of sexuality. I'm speaking for myself. What offends me is this kind of nudge in the ribs kind of approach to it. You know, heh heh heh, hubba hubba, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's you gotta feel sorry for those people.
Yeah, I do, but what I'm saying is that because I believe in freedom of speech, I'm not about to shut them up.
Yeah,
and it's the people who are offended by honest expressions of sexuality that are the ones who are complaining.
What are you going to do when they talk about, when they come at you with this line? What if some lady, you know, little, a 35-year-old lady has got two small kids,
yeah.
Her mind's blown, and she thinks she's trying to be good, you know, and her
yeah.
kid, her teenage daughter, 13 years old, turned to this on the AM radio, and,
yeah.
and her mind is blown. Now, what are you going to say to her, man? What are you going to say to her out there in Illinois? I mean, you know, it's tough.
The approach is so sly and double entendre and, you know,
been
racy.
Going as long as the world's been going, man.
No, I'm just, listen. It's the way it's approached. The approach is kind of racy and
peep shows.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Always.
So that doesn't turn people off. They say, oh, it's risque, you know, and it's kind of a wink kind of thing. It isn't that it's because it's not treated with any kind of respect, you know. They're making it some kind of dirty joke.
Answer me the line
if there is a program about an honest, pleasurable thing, then that's what people get offended by, you know, because they're you see, when you treat it as racy or something like that, then you're kind of acknowledging that you're guilty about it, you know, or that you're embarrassed to talk about it straightforwardly, which makes you an okay all-American person, you know, to be embarrassed about sex. But when you're not embarrassed about it, and when you're not guilty about it, then that's time to stomp on you.
That's all true what you're saying, but
there's this.
Away, man.
Well, I think it is because they thought that they could do it, and it turns out that they couldn't, and it hadn't been tested in this way before, you know. And if they pay the fine, it won't be. It'll be somebody else's who wants to risk their license to do it. They thought that contemporary community standards would permit them to broadcast a program like that.
I bet the president didn't even know what was happening, man.
I think so.
I doubt it.
I mean, it's been done in other cities too. New York had a program similar to that. I heard a part of it.
How are you going to answer that, though?
What?
Public airwaves and all that. How
what about it? What
that?
About him?
What?
What about him?
I mean, I don't care, you know. I mean, it's cool with my kids, you know.
Now, don't give me that. Don't give me that crap. That's what they all say, you know. Say, I don't care if any blacks move in the neighborhood. It's just that the neighbors won't like it, and so we have to keep them out.
Right.
Or I don't care. I'm not offended by this material, but you know, Sam Jones might be. So let's stomp it out. I mean, you know, what about other kids? Other kids are the same. Other kids are kids. You know, people are people. So what? So what if a kid hears something?
Kids are not people. Kids are different from people. You
no,
know that.
What do you mean they're different from people? What?
You ever had a kid?
Had a kid? No.
You have a kid.
I was a kid.
Yeah, but if
I didn't need to have one.
You got to have a kid to know that kids are different than big people. They're different, man. You got to discipline kids. Understand? Now, I don't want to get on a big rap about kids, but you know, people hypothetically, the best people that talk about freedom for kids are the people that never had any kids, because you know that if you have a kid, you got to discipline them. You got to take care of them a little bit. You got to tell them no at a certain time, once in a while, you know, or a lot of times. I mean, if you have a kid, otherwise you're gonna have one crazy kid. I'm telling you.
Why? How do you mean crazy? You mean somebody who might grow up not being guilty about sex?
No, I mean crazy. I mean weird, man. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You gotta tell a kid no once in a while, you know, and like a kid.
Why? Just for the sake of teaching him discipline?
Specific, man. I have to get real specific about what happened with a kid sometimes. I mean, you see one kid ripping another kid off, right? Or
yeah.
You see one kid ripping off, you know, one kid will come up and take a bite of my sandwich and rip me off or something
okay.
like that.
Okay, so you say no. Okay, but that...
Listen, man, like straighten up, you know? And
I
if
can
a kid don't do it, you put him in his room or something like that, because with an adult, you can reason with, but sometimes kids get weird, you know? You understand? And if you've been around kids, you know that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, but anyway... I don't know. It's
I've been around kids. I mean, don't do this unless.
I'm setting you straight.
I mean, I can. I was a child once, and I know what it's like to be a child, and I know what it's like to be disciplined, and so on. So don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about simply because I'm not a breeder like you.
Hey. Now just a second, man. I mean, you want to get into that? I mean, you're throwing a.
That's one of the reasons I didn't want to have kids.
That remark, man, was...
Because I didn't want to...
That remark was as bad as those leering kind of remarks you're talking about the public being uptight about sex, that racy thing you were laying down about how...
Well, I'm not trying to be racy.
Yeah, you are like a breeder like you, man. That is a really... If I must... I got to say it, man. That was a queer remark. That was a really queer remark you just made. You understand? That was petty, man. That was a low blow. You understand what I... Now, I'm not a paranoid cat. You understand me? But that was a low blow, a breeder like you. I'm saying, how can you remember what you were really like as a kid, or what it's like being...
I remember because I wanted to remember. I wanted to remember every little thing.
Yeah,
there's a lot that I forgot, but I remembered enough to know
yeah, Yeah, it's quite.
There's a lot that has to be done.
That you can see kids in a certain way when you're an adult and see. I'm not saying you have to be a breeder, man. You understand? You just have to be around taking care of kids, or be more than taking care and being responsible, man. I mean, feeling that that kid's livelihood is in your hands. So when he does something bad, if nobody's going to cover it, you're the one that's covering it. You understand?
Well, I feel that way when I'm around kids.
Well, that's far out, man. Well, then you can too. And I mean, you don't have to be a breeder, man. You understand?
Well,
like
you were saying in effect that I didn't, you know, I who am I to say I don't have my own
kid?
You know?
And you were going, no, I don't. So you know, I mean, that's what you.
We don't have to have kids to know that, you know, kids are human beings. I mean, that's still we're getting back to the same.
Yeah,
thing, you know, they are people.
No, they're not. But
they're
not
different.
Like
okay, they're different people, but they're still people. You know.
No, they're kids.
Well, all right, but they're people.
Yeah, they're people. All right. Yeah. But
all right. See, you still got a kid inside you, probably. That's all frustrated and teed off because you didn't get your milk or something. Huh?
I ain't frustrated. No.
No. You got everything you wanted when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, no, but now I get everything I want.
Yeah, but you don't have any resentment based on when you were 12, 13, 14 years old?
I don't worry about it, you know.
Oh, well, okay. I mean, there's not much you can do about it, right?
Yeah, really.
Except
I mean, what's gone is gone, you know. Like
yeah, but you might be able to remember it and figure out how to change the way the whole system works so that you don't have to develop those kind of resentments in kids that age, or any age, for that matter.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
I mean, got a point there. But,
I mean, the only reason I'm remembering what it was like to be dumped on as a kid was so that when I got old enough to do something about it, I could do something about it. You know? And I feel still very frustrated because there's very little to do. It's such an entrenched system, you know?
Frustrated, man.
Huh?
Why do you feel frustrated?
Because there's it's so difficult to know even where to begin to change this whole thing of
you can't begin,
you know, of absolute
thing,
authority of parents.
Of Ezra Pound's translations from the Chinese, he wrote a beautiful poem about this border guard. This was like 5,000 years ago back in China. This really poignant poem, this border guard is somewhere on a frontier of China, out in the middle of nowhere, man. I mean, like, and the emperor is 3,000 miles away, which means like he's 2 years away by journey, right? And he's saying, they sent me out here to fight this war out here. I had to leave my whole family. I don't know if I'll ever see him again. And, like, that was in China 5,000 years ago. I mean, the system, man, we've always been, Milton had to write Areopagitica. I mean,
Wait a minute. You just said things were getting better.
What?
You called up to tell me things were getting better.
In that way, they are, man.
Oh, yeah.
In a certain way, and I said you were wrong about your chipping away thing there, but in certain ways, man, I mean, if you're smart, man, if you're smart, you know that there's certain things that are eternal, and that's what's going to happen, you know? And, like, the individual wanting liberty.
No, Wait a minute. I don't believe that. Before the Wright brothers, people said that there are certain things that are eternal, and that is one of them was that men can't fly.
No, but you ain't answering my point, man. I'm talking about answering my point about the border guard in China and Ezra Pound's poem 5,000 years ago. He's saying this government is messing me up, man. I don't know when I'll see my girl again and all the rest of it. He's saying that, and that was 5,000, and it's still the same thing in Vietnam. He's saying, I don't know if I'll get back.